we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another post-match edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. Little bit later this week, I'm Jack Sessions, your host, and I've got Neil Shaw with me. Neil, over it yet?
I'm watching The Sopranos, mate. Of course I'm
under
it.
I tell you what, that's a perfect tier. What a fantastic show that is.
Much better than watching Arsenal.
Brilliant movie. Movie next year. We've been talking about movie comes out next year for everyone that's looking for something to watch. Look for a prequel. Love that. Got Michael Harris in a Pharrell Williams shirt. Recently came out, this shirt. Then we thought we might wear it. We're wearing it in a lot of warm-ups, aren't we, Mike?
Warm-up games, yeah. Yeah, how you doing, Jack? I've got the rum and I've got the tea here. So if, whatever way the game's going, what the chat's going to go, I'm prepared for it.
Yeah, give about 2 minutes, it'll be the rum.
Yeah.
2 minutes in. Yeah, it started bad and it went from bad to worse, really, didn't it, in the game? I mean, what's really frustrating when you watch it, I'm just rewatching it now for the first time. I couldn't stomach going back to it for the last few days. That's why we delayed the podcast for a couple of days, because none of us wanted to speak. And then, you know, we need a couple of days to kind of get over it. And it's always a bit more of a hit when, you know, you got to wait 2 weeks for the next, well, disappointment, if you like. So you got to wait 2 more weeks for it. But it would be really nice if we had a midweek game against some, you know, third division team abroad, and we could maybe enjoy it and get a win behind us. But it was really frustrating. But I do want to touch briefly on the lineup. I mean, the lineup was the same, and I don't think any of us complain about the lineup being the same, in the sense that Man U was one of our better performances. I think only hindsight shows that there was obviously issues again with the lineup. Certainly for this game, I'm not certain it would have made a huge amount of difference, because collectively we were just atrocious from start to finish. But Mike, in hindsight, watching that game and seeing us just, let's face it, completely outplayed by Aston Villa, and fair play to Aston Villa for it, they could have easily won by more. Other than the Lacazette header, I don't really recall a lot coming from us. Willian, 2 half chances, which we'll get to. But in hindsight, what were your feelings on the lineup? Because obviously we're going to look at that now, because it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the key thing, which, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, I think the lineup after the performance against United, we dominated that game. I think everyone was deserved to have their place again, in a sense. I think the common denominator, really the reason why things unraveled like it did, was because of Partey's injury. Up until that point, I think, yes, they scored and they looked like they were up against it, but I think there was a few occasions where Partey, you know, he got involved. That's where he got his injury from, by breaking and trying to close down Martinez, and a couple of passes he played out wide, and he was getting in the way of what what's the name of their defensive midfielder? I forgot his name. Douglas Luiz.
Yeah,
yeah. He was getting in his face a bit and disrupting his play a little bit. So I think in that aspect, Partey was, you know, was, it was a massive, obviously a massive miss anyway, because he's a talented player. But to chase a game, I think having him there would have had a little bit more security and a little bit more quality in terms of what he's able to produce. So not having him there obviously made things a lot harder, even though I think Sabas tried to come on and do as much as he could, but it was just the lack of movement. The front three, Aubameyang looks more and more resigned as the games go on, you know, more and more frustrated. He did against Leicester when he stormed off, obviously United game, he got the penalty. But especially the other day, he just looked really, really cheesed off. And yes, I think the way Anani played, he didn't deserve to get dropped, did he? I mean, everyone's saying in hindsight maybe he shouldn't have played, and maybe he should have played Dani Ceballos a little bit to be a bit more offensive. But I think the way he played and some of the passes he's able to do to open up the game a little bit, you know, I think he deserved his spot. But I said a couple of weeks ago, I think everyone else has lost quite heavily or had a defensive disaster, and we haven't had one yet, and I touched wood and it didn't help us. Obviously we did have a defensive nightmare. And it just seemed like it was our turn. And the worrying thing was, because obviously the thing that Arteta has changed and made us better is our defensive structure and the way we're a little bit tighter and we're competing in these matches a little bit more, not getting blown out of sight up until we did on Sunday. So yeah, I think the lineup, yeah, in hindsight, you'll probably say yes, you would probably take Ceballos out, or possibly Willian, go a bit more front foot with Pepe to stretch him a bit, but they just didn't turn up. They just didn't want it. We were second to everything, and you think you get a shock in the first opening seconds. You think, oh well, Christ, we're lucky to get away with that disallowed goal, but we just didn't respond. And it was a big worry, really, Jack, really big worry.
And we'll get onto that. And I think my biggest concern is when you're back. I couldn't help but think about how. I think it's our last home game against Villa, which was when we were 2-0 down and we won 3-2, wasn't it? And there's a lot of praise I got for Arteta, and we're certainly supportive of him on this podcast. And I do think he's bought himself some time with a fantastic end to last season. I mean, let's face it, it was a horrible season. No one saw that coming, not from any club, let alone Arsenal fans. And we couldn't praise him enough at that point. But since that point, that really gratifying point of two trophies in a month, and I feel the way we're playing performance wise irrespective of results, I feel we've gone backwards. I feel other than Fulham and United away, and United, you know, we have to beat them, but they were a poor United, I felt, on the day. But we, fair play to us, we had a good game. Other than those games though, we've really struggled to perform and struggled to be creative. And the concern, like you said, Mike, is if you don't have the one difference in this game was we didn't have a very good defensive display, right? And in all the other games, even Liverpool aside maybe, but in all the other games we've had a pretty solid defensive display, not made any errors. If we've conceded, we've conceded, but generally speaking, we've had very, and we were in defensive disarray here. But the real concern I got was not going down, was when you go down, even Unai Emery, when we used to talk for weeks and weeks on this podcast about how we'd go 1-0 down under Unai Emery, but then wouldn't we start playing? Wow, look at us start playing in the 70th minute again, and we'd almost go, here we go. We were so sure that we were almost willing us to go 1-0 down. The real concern under Arteta is when our back's against the wall and we have no choice, we actually look like we have no idea how to chase a game. And that is more worrying to me than anything, because Leicester is a perfect example, and then this game is literally like the other team is so aware that we're toothless going forward, they just keep playing the same way and picking us off. And that is really, really concerning, because it just shows a team that is unable to create flows and waves of attack consistently, and that's really concerning. But Neil, let's talk. I mean, I guess to start with, we can talk a little bit about the front three that he's sticking with a little bit, because I mean, we could talk about defensive lapses, and I do think, but to be honest, I mean, if you're creating enough at the other end, these become less of an issue. Why do you think he's stuck with, because other than the Sheffield United game, he's stuck with Willian, Lacazette and Aubameyang as a front three. We're 15th out in the league on shots created. We're 13th on shots on target, and we're 15th in terms of goals. We've scored 9 in 8 games.
Reading.
Yeah. So what I'm just trying to say is, Arteta talks about, reading and adapting, and everyone has to earn their place and et cetera, et cetera. Where, I mean, he's got all those stats to him, right? I get them from Orbino on Twitter, so it takes me 1 second. Arteta's got all this information. What I don't get is, if he's talking about non-negotiables and accountability, how has that not changed in the 8 games that we've seen so far this season? And what do you think he's seeing that maybe we're not? Because I can't understand how he's not tried something else in those 8 games. Do you know what I mean?
Let's be a bit pragmatic initially. I think he's got it right by doing what he's done from the backwards side of the pitch, or from the back moving forward. I've said that before. I think he's rebuilt and structured us quite well. I think we were too structured in that game. I think we were too structured and not enough for creativity and spontaneity in that game. But hey-ho, he's done what he's done. But like you said, for example, Lacazette is it, we can pinpoint the forwards and their maybe lack of enterprise and what they're doing up front and the need for them to be a bit more aggressive and inventive themselves, let alone the creativity coming from the midfield. But to be fair, just being a little bit, playing a bit of devil's advocate, Lacazette had 5 passes to him for service, 5 compared to Watkins' 35. So that says, again, that that is a big stat just there. So you've got the lack of service. But having said that, for me, Lacazette plays like a CDM. He's too slow. He sits too far back for me at times. I love his hold-up play. I love his strength. I've always said that. I've always been an advocate of that. But he doesn't do enough for what he's paid to do, which is be a striker. He doesn't give me the impression that he's going to go in there and score a goal. He just doesn't do it for me. And bless James, I know he loves Nketiah, but I see the same with him. I see the Nketiah being a younger Lacazette. I hope I'm proved wrong, but I just see he is going to be the next Theo Walcott. A lot of promise, a lot of potential, but just unfulfilled. And Willian, again, I think you were saying it off before we started recording, and I've been hearing that for a lot of people, that they feel that Lacazette and Willian are just off the pace. They're not fit enough. And because I haven't got that sprint, that is a big, big, you know, disadvantage, especially against a team like Villa. If Arteta wants to teach our players anything about creativity, aggression, and playing on the front foot, he's only got to get them to watch that game against us that Villa played, because they did all of that and we didn't. We just didn't. It was like seeing two very contrasting sides. So I think you were talking about the lineup. I would have preferred to see Pepe, because I thought he did well in Europe. I know he wouldn't have played someone like Willock, but he deserves a start or some time in one of the Premiership games now, because, you know, I was never so sure about Willock, but he's really surprised me in the last 2 or 3 times I've seen him in Europe. You know, he's at least he's got the kahunas to go forward, to dart forward and try something. He's not scared of pushing forward. And I just feel that our players at the moment, the way Arteta's got them set up, are just scared of doing that. And then the biggest thing for me, and I know you said it's not probably the complete answer, but I still feel you've tried it, what you're doing. Why not just give one game with overplaying in the middle? Just one. Because there were so many times I was seeing some passage on the left-hand side. But who was on the left-hand side? It was Ober a lot of the time. He should have been in the middle to collect anything. Because let's face it, he is a good finisher and he needs goals. He's going through a bit of a funny spell. Ever since he signed, he scored, what you told me, Michael, what, 2 goals? Is it 2 goals he scored since he signed? I mean, he was scoring for fun in every game before that. And he signed the contract and all of a sudden it's all dried up. And I just think play Ober in the middle and play someone like Pepe and maybe Saka on either side of him. I don't know why he's just sticking with Lacazette and Willian. It's not working. It's just not working. Willian might not be too... Again, another stat. Willian, in the whole match, he made 2 forward passes. 2 forward passes. Okay, he might be not a bad player tracking back and defending, but once we've got all of that sorted out, you've got the players there, you've got the Partey's of this world. Okay, we lost him second half, but we've already got the players that have improved in defence. Okay, let's forget the Villa game for a second, but generally we have improved. So that has now given the opportunity and the space and the time for the front players to do what they're supposed to be doing. And I don't like the way Laka sits so far back. The other thing I don't understand about Laka is he falls down too much. He's always on his arse. He plays, and half the time I see him falling over. I don't know why that happens. And that plays into the opposition's hands. They say, you know, I was saying it on a tweet. I said, if the team sheet saw that we're playing Laka up front in the middle, they'll be laughing. They're not going to be scared because he doesn't really offer us anything, which... breaks my heart to say it, because I've always been a Laka fan. But I just think it's time that he needs to change things around now. And I wouldn't even be scared to say on this podcast that I'd like him to do something completely fresh and play the youngsters, start playing more of a mixture of the youngsters, the Willocks of the world and Emil Smith Rowe maybe. You know, give them a chance, for goodness sake.
What's incredible with the youngsters part, Neil, is that they have, and I don't know about you, but the only real games I've enjoyed this season have been the midweek games anyway, to be honest. But, you know, one, obviously, you've got to take the opposition into account as well. But you've also got to take into account we are playing technically our reserve team in those games. So, you know, they've accounted themselves pretty well. I thought we were pretty good against Mulder and in previous games. And what's incredible there, though, Neil, is that they don't even make the squad. They don't even make the squad. And last season, as we got down to the nail biters, he removed a lot of the youngsters from the setup. And we kind of understood that because we were like, okay, big moments, big games, big players. Even Saka couldn't get in the lineup. Do you remember? But now we're looking at the longevity of the season and competition for places. And I look at someone like, I hate this. And I was texting Mike about it earlier. Chelsea do this every year. They loan out about half a dozen players to other Premier League clubs, knowing that they'll never play against Chelsea, but they'll play against all the other top six clubs. What's Ross Barkley done? He's gone, can't even get near the Chelsea team. He's gone, taken 3 points off Liverpool, been one of their best players. Very good against us, taken 3 points off us. Won't play against Chelsea. Villa probably have a terrible game. Chelsea win 3-0. They do this all the time. What I don't get is we've got players that even we might not think can make our squads, but likes of Kolasinac and Socrates and Cedric. But then you've got Willock, Smith-Rowe, Nelson, Niles. If you're not going to use them, loan them out, Saliba, loan them out to a Premier League club then, and make sure that you're making these sort of mid-range competitive Premier League clubs a lot stronger for when they play against other teams as opposed to playing against us. And we never do it. We never do it. And this year's the worst for it, because what we've done is we just look like we've got this huge amount of players in our squad. I can't imagine what a training session's like. And I was listening to the Wolves coach the other day saying he doesn't even like 25 players in his squad. He likes 23. And Wenger was like this too, because he wants to create this environment of everyone's going to be involved. And what we've got is the opposite. We've got players that aren't even getting on squad lists, but they're part of the training group. And that I think that brings the competition level down, because there's a lot of these guys going, it doesn't matter what I do here because there's three or four people in front of me and he's going to go with experience. And he's not, but it's all very well him saying it, right? He said in the last 2 weeks, if we don't improve our chances and goal creation, we're not getting near the top four. But actions speak louder than words. We heard a lot of this with Unai Emery, right? He'd say sometimes the right stuff, but when it came down to it, it was a cowardly move in each game that we were watching. And I don't want to call that on Arteta yet, because early days, I still think it's early days, and we've got to stick with him early point in the season. But he's got a lot of work to do, and I think we've gone backwards from the end of last season for sure. And don't forget, in the start of the season, when we were evaluating our team, we didn't talk about the front three. We said, oh, no, that we're fine up there. Even signing Willian, we were like, well, gives us another option. So this is proof that the manager is not getting enough out of the front, because we said that was our strongest component. It's not suddenly switched. We're not getting the most out of our best players. Aubameyang is a prime example of that. Phil for Lacazette, in a way, I think he's been really poor, but he's been asked to do two roles and the guy's not fit enough to do one. He can't do the drop deep and the number nine role. Make him do, when Wenger used to play him, which wasn't always, he'd play one of Lacazette or Aubameyang, he'd make Lacazette would be a box player. He wouldn't be coming back to halfway line. It's ridiculous. But Mike, another thing is, when you're losing games like this, you start to look at the youngsters not getting an inclusion in the group. But then the likes of Luis and Xhaka, which are probably two of our biggest characters, whether you like them or not, you can't deny that, are now dropped effectively. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be dropped, but if you're not getting results, Mike, that's got to affect the overall morale of the group, because these are leaders within the group, whether we like it or not, aren't they?
Yeah, they're popular guys as well, obviously, as you can see with some of the footage, whether it's on Instagram or where the club release the training footage. You know, for me, yeah, Luis is, you know, I can't remember what game it was. I think it was at home, where Arteta was talking about Luis being... and he got injured. I can't remember what game Leicester. That's it. And he was talking about him being, you know, the creative outlet. And then obviously, and then since the last couple of weeks, he's not featured, especially Old Trafford, and there was again there was another game where he got injured. Rob Holding got injured, and he came in, and it was City, wasn't it? It was a City game, and he looked like he had a bit of a hump. He had the hump because obviously he's come in, and he wasn't picked from the start. So he's still got, you know, obviously on that basis, why isn't he playing him? He's got those attributes as unlocking, maybe bypassing the midfield. But also because of what he is as a person in terms of a leader, and you know, he's the kind of guy that we've seen it where things aren't going the way or, you know, we want it to go, and he'll smack someone or he'll give away a free kick. He'll just kick someone up, boot someone up the air. Might take a yellow card for it. He normally gets away with those ones, but he would do something like that just to, you know, show people that, you know, he's not happy with this. You guys need to pull your fingers out. And that wasn't there. Obviously, they were on the bench, and I imagine things were said at half time. But I think again, going back to the party situation, him getting injured was it did play a part. Obviously, you know, defensively, yeah, we were an absolute disaster. But you know, It would have been interesting just to see how things would have panned out if he'd remained there, because he would have grew. This kind of guy seems like he grows influence as the game goes on, especially his performance the week before. But yeah, if you're gonna keep guys like that out, and the results aren't going the way you know you want them to go, then that's where, you know, people get peeved off, and people that are in the team get peeved off because they're thinking, oh, he should be playing. And then those guys obviously get peeved off because they're thinking, I should be playing. You know, and the case in point, obviously, as you touched on with Willian, he's not, the numbers, he started 7 out of the 8 Premier League games. And what are his numbers? He's got 2 assists and that was the first game of the season. He hasn't done anything since, apart from a 20-minute spell against Sheffield United, which, you know, touching on what you were saying, Jack, about Arteta not being able to turn things around when we go a goal down. He actually turned things around when the things were in the balance, which was such a surprise, obviously, I think, for all of us, that he made that change, putting a Aubameyang in the centre against Sheffield United. And then, obviously, we saw for 20 minutes, wow, we played him off the park. We scored some lovely goals. And then he's gone back to Aubameyang on the left again and everything being the way it is. So he knows, you know, I can't believe this guy who... You know, who for the last 3 years he would have been, you know, studying film. He would have been studying teams, opposition with Pep Guardiola, and how to break down this team that's going to park this bus. This team's going to park this bus when we go away from all these different patterns and play and open people up. And I can't believe this guy would have had that philosophy and that mentality. What they've got, 100, over 100 points, whatever it was they got, and he's happy with the way things are going. I can't believe that. All right, we haven't got De Bruyne and Aguero and Sterling, players like that, but we've got players who are good if you allow them the freedom to do so. You know, Pepe, as we said, you know, let's get it right, he hasn't set the world alight, but he's got that unpredictability. He puts defenders on the back foot, he gets attention, and that creates space for Aubameyang. You know, he got a couple of assists for Aubameyang. So I can't believe that after what's happened and the embarrassment that he got, you know, in that result, I can't believe he'll go into the Leeds game with the same team. The system probably will be the same, formation will probably be the same, but Lacazette and Willian, you know, if they start, then you might just rip it up and go home, because there's no way those two can start against Leeds. Absolutely no way, because that just sends out such a message to the likes of Pepe, the likes of Eddie Nketiah, the likes of Willock, because they're doing what they can do in those games. You know, in the Europa League, they're doing what they can, they're scoring goals, assisting, and they're not getting the chance, they're not getting the rewards.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, like you, I think it's going to be really hard to change the system, which definitely to me felt more like a back five again in this system. I said I felt he moved away from it, but seeing Bukayo Saka a lot of the left wing back position, which I think he's wasting him. And if we think about last season, what's changed, right? Well, he's brought Willian in for Pepe, and the argument there is, I find difficult after what we've seen. You know, I'm sure in Arteta's head, his theory is, you know, this player is safer on the ball. He's not going to lose it as much. He's probably going to work for me both ways as much. But if Pepe had done some of the things Willian had done against Villa, we wouldn't see him again till after Christmas. Do you know what I mean? So there's a clear favouritism there. And I'm not knocking Willian out to dry because I was happy with the signing, but I was happy with the signing because I thought we'd play him more centrally. I didn't want him to ever take Pepe's place because we'd seen that the front three had started to kind of work towards the end of last season. And it wasn't something, you certainly wasn't something where you wanted to move Pepe away from it. He was finally getting into form. And I think he's been pretty poorly handled. The other change has been Saka for Niles. Now, in terms of quality player, fantastic. But in terms of positionally, absolutely ludicrous. I mean, let's stop putting Saka at left wing back for start, because I mean, playing more higher up, play him at left wing where we know he can create more. But defensively, as we saw for the first goal, I don't think Niles is probably in a better position for that. Just because he's more of an intelligent defender. It's not Saka's fault. I don't really think he should be there, and the ball should never have got to him in the first place. We'll get to that. But and the other one is the central midfield pairing, which has completely switched on us. But I think we were unlucky with Partey getting injured early on, wasn't it, from the stretch, which was probably our best chance, which was, you know, closing down a goalkeeper or whatever. But Neil, just touch on their first goal. I mean, obviously we had the warning. I think we were pretty lucky to get the offside. I think it was definitely in the line of Leno, but he was never getting to it. Let's face it. He was never, ever getting to that goal. You put three goalkeepers in there, he's not getting to that. But when you see the one we got given against us against Leicester, this one's a lot worse than that. So we're watching it going, okay, you've got to give it. You can't give that goal, you know? So fair enough. They didn't give it. But we got away with it in the sense that it should have been the warning sign. 5 minutes later, Willian gives the ball away. But it's such bad defending after he gives the ball away, Neil. And specifically from Rob Holding and Bellerin and Willian himself, just no engagement, so passive, like just sat off. Barkley's doing back heels on the edge of our box. I mean, they're just playing around. It's 0-0 and they're showboating. You've got to be more engaged and make challenges before they get into the box, haven't you, Neil?
Well, yeah, I mean, we did it against United, didn't we? I can't understand how a set of players can play so well against one team. And I know everyone keeps saying United weren't on the game and Villa were a different prospect altogether. I understand that, but we still played well to make United look poorer than they were. So we switched on against United, completely switched on as a collective, as well as individually. And then the total opposite in this game, the defenders, they're not... For the first goal, to me, they looked like they were bolt ball watching. You're absolutely right. Again, the aggression isn't there. The pressing, the closing down of players, giving them time and space. I mean, was it for the first goal? I just kept seeing Rob Holding just like almost like be scared of Barkley. He was almost scared just to go in. He just kept like doing these silly little movements and letting Barkley have that much time. So, yes, Barkley played very well, as did a couple of the other Villa players. But at the end of the day, we also, the way people say United made us look better, we could say the same about how we made Villa look better. We should never have given Villa that much space and time and chance. And obviously, by doing that, they're gaining confidence that they know that their forward lineup can press these players and our defence in such a way that we guess sooner or later we're going to make a mistake. And that first 48 seconds should have woken us up right from that moment to say, this team has come here to press high, to attack, to be aggressive. We've got to do something about this straight away. And the fact that we were let off, it was a 5-minute decision for that VAR to be the goal to be disallowed. So in that time, Arteta should have kind of thought, right, shit, whatever game plan I've had initially, Villa have come here to do something very, very different to what I might have thought and just change it up a little bit. But no, in fact, if anything, it got worse. And that's why it allowed their players to do what they did to our defence. And, you know, I think Willian's pressing was all wrong. He was pressing too late. And I think that could be a lack of fitness. He wasn't making the right decisions. And then that opened up space for the attackers to expose our defence. And I just felt that our defenders just weren't on the ball for the whole game. It wasn't just a few incidences. And I just think that they should have been, as I said, more clued up with their positional play, the way they were trying to close down the lines and stop the players, you know, having those channels. And then again, you know, for that goal, Saka was just on his heels. And he's just out of position in terms of, you know, I think you're right. I've always said Niles is a very good one-to-one player. You know, he's very good at that, closing players down and beating his man on a one-to-one basis. And I think Saka was just a rabbit caught in lights. Just, you know, and at the end of the day, he reacted too late and that caused him to score the goal or caused the own goal. But, you know, I think it's a combined effort from the defenders, which was severely lacking. And that was the story throughout the whole game after that. And it just destroys confidence, doesn't it? So I don't know what else to say. I mean, it was a great reverse pass by Barclay, but it shouldn't have been allowed to happen in the first place. It's so much time building up to it.
I was going to say that the amazing thing with it, Neil, is the first goal that was disallowed, and the second, and the goal that they scored, the one you talk about, second one. If you take a freeze frame, or as soon as the passes are made, every one of our players are back in the box. Like, even Lacazette's in there as well. It's like, what the hell is going on? All of our players are in that position.
Yeah,
and yet they couldn't stop the you know, the ball going across. There was no awareness. Well, it didn't seem to be any communication or anyone telling anyone anywhere.
Well, it's the same with the second goal.
Yeah, and for me, the first goal, Willian's fingerprints are all over that for me, because I know Holding's, you know, defensive has been, you know, people are ripping the piss out of him, obviously, with Leo saying it's like River Dance or whatever it is. But you watch when Willian passes that ball off and he gets intercepted, and you watch him he's just ball watching. He's not looking at any of the runners. He's not looking over his shoulder. His body position is not so opened up so he can see who's going. It's so bad. I think I said on the text to you guys, how many caps does this guy play for Brazil? You know, and he's won all these things and he can't do the basics like that. If you saw under 13 or under 12 at Hayland or whatever doing that, you'd have a coach there, you know, whoever it is, telling them, open your body up. It was so bad. It was so bad. And that's why, on that basis, if Arteta analyzes that, you know, he can't pick him against Leeds. There's something fundamentally wrong if he sees what he does for that goal and the rest of his performance, and he's picked against Leeds. There's something is not right there.
I don't know about you guys, but I kind of worry about buying players from clubs that have won a lot of stuff. And then coming to us, it happened with Czech. It's happened to a couple of other players that we bought from clubs. Are they really going to be up for it? Because they've already been there and done it. And then they come into another club almost to, like, you know, at the twilight of their careers. Yeah, I don't know if that's the right decision. You know, is the hunger still there? Is the passion still there when you've already done it? And all you're doing is you're taking a nice wage home every week or every month. I'm not so sure it's a cute idea to do that, but, you know, I'm not the manager, but there you go.
Neil, I saw this thing on Twitter saying William Gallas, Yossi Benayoun, Peter Cech, David Luiz, Willian, there's probably someone else I've missed out, all from Chelsea, all won loads of stuff. Which one of those could you say have been a success? None of them. Do you know what I mean?
None. And they always seem to get the better end of the deals if they take players from us. Ashley Cole, Giroud, you know, things like that. You know, I mean, what we'd give for Giroud to come off the bench at the moment, let's not go into that. But you know, no offence to Eddie Nketiah, but Eddie Nketiah, and James, a big fan of him, but and I'm not. I just look at it, and I don't like the substitutions sometimes from Arteta. I just feel it's too obvious. It's so obvious every time. He just like for like changes. What's the first thing he does when we're losing? Lacazette off, Eddie Nketiah on, and it's like, let's be honest with Eddie Nketiah. He, at a club like Arsenal, when we're good, would he be getting this amount of game time? I don't think he would. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he would. It's not saying 2-3 years time he shouldn't be, but I don't think he would. I said at the start of the season, someone like that was crying out for just full games every week, and he couldn't get it at Leeds when they're in the Championship, you know. So I just think we got to think levels him. Maybe it's saying something for where we're at, but I just think when you've got someone like Nelson or Willock that are different types of players but still in an attacking sense to come on, it changes, it makes them think a little bit more. But you're bringing on just like all the time, it's so obvious, they can read it, they've probably got it written down what we're going to do. It's just so obvious. And then for their second goal, which is a great goal from their perspective, but route one kind of thing, you know, cross, but who's the right back? It's Eddie Nketiah. What's he doing back there? And this, I think this is all coming from, for a large part, coming from Mikel Arteta as well. You know, he's built this defence, and he's so reluctant to lose what we built in terms of defensive solidity. But we can't enter into games like this. I feel we enter into almost every game trying to nick it 1-0. And you can talk about George Graham era, et cetera, but I think we're a lot more inventive and expansive, even under him at times, to be honest, you know, in terms of our shot creation and types. What was a really the only good chance I can think of us creating really good was Lacazette's, and his body shape was all wrong and he didn't get to the ball right. It was a great ball from Tierney. I think it shows his lack of sharpness and fitness, to be honest. But really frustrating, like great goal from their perspective. I don't want to not give them credit because we don't give the other team credit a lot on this podcast, but I do think Villa were really, really good. Grealish and Watkins look great. But it's allowing them to be in a system that they thrive in. And I'm not even sure personnel wise us changing it is going to create much of a difference at this moment. If the philosophy isn't there, he has to promote a freedom type of philosophy to allow us to play. And the epitome of that is just constantly drawing people like Saka into a left wing back position. If you're going to play Saka, play him advanced, because you know he's our biggest risk taker. He's our most fearless player that we've got. Stop retract him into a left wing back position at home against Villa. Otherwise, just play Niles. Yeah, that's why I keep going back to just play Niles. If you want to play this defensive structure and you don't want to ever concede, put Niles there then. Stop playing Saka there then.
I think just can I just say also with the goals, I think I think Bellerin has improved a lot since, you know, the times when he went in. There's a really bad dip of form, and I think he's got stronger and he's improved. But I think in this game, the balance of him knowing when to go forward and try and be a bit more enterprising, and then having that like defensive mindset, he just didn't have that balance right. And I think for at least two of the goals, like for example the one where Eddie at the second goal, when it said Eddie and Nketiah there, it should have been Bellerin. What's Bellerin doing further up the pitch? And I think that he did that in one of the others as well. He was just out of a position. I think for the third goal he was, but I can kind of understand that because we're trying to at least get a goal back to see if we can get something out of the game. But I think his positional sense, again, and that is, and it epitomises the whole team really, our positional sense was just all wrong. It just did not work in that game. And I think Sir Bellerin could be held accountable a little bit, but it's just, as you said, it's just so frustrating. And if things don't change quickly, well, I think we're in trouble, because Leeds, they're going to go for it. You know how Leeds are set up. My God, they're going to go for it big time. Whether it would be, and I don't think it makes any difference whether we're at home or away, Jack. It doesn't make any difference at all. Any team knowing that we are vulnerable to this, and if they can see that Arteta has got a certain style and he's not going to change, they're going to go for it, just like Villa have.
Yeah,
so I think it is worrying. It is concerning. Yeah,
yeah, and he's at a crossroads here at Arteta, because, you know, no one's safe, and some people say, you know, he's learning. He's only 38, 42 games into his managerial career, but and I want to support Arteta, but I do maintain that Arsenal managerial role, first team head manager, should not be an apprenticeship where someone's learning on the job. It just shouldn't be that, right? There's a reason we should have waited maybe a year or two for Mikel Arteta to come in, and we did, and we support him. But it should not be a job where you're like, oh, he's learning, he'll get better. Because to be honest, a lot of these things are starting to become quite obvious, and there's not been any change, right, in terms of our lack of attacking fluidity, ability to create. And then we're sticking with the same thing week in, week out. The third goal, I mean, it was a fair play to Bellerin, because he's been our most creative player all season and he has improved. But it's still, I mean, he gets pushed off the ball so easily for the third goal. And I think it just epitomises the physicality factor that we go back to with Bellerin. Now, congratulations to him for getting back in the Spain squad. I think he probably does deserve it. But in terms of him saying, I think he said he feels like as good as he was pre-injury, and I don't believe that for one second. He was physically so much stronger pre-injury. I know he injured himself, but he was physically so much more powerful, so much more. I'll go back to the Pedro recovery run. Do you remember when Pedro was clean through on goal? He wouldn't make that run today because he hasn't got that speed anymore. He has not got that speed. And this isn't really about Bellerin, because I do think still he's probably one of our better players going forward, and he always takes risks. And but again, defensively, you know, and physicality wise, a bit concerning. And then we're, you know, it's just such an easy finish. Is it Watkins again? Is it for the third goal? I think it is Watkins again, isn't it? Who looks great for them, but it's just a break from back to front. We're so open.
It's good as well.
Yeah, he's a guy. I heard him at the end. I was like, oh, God. I was like, gosh sake. And we just... It's a tough moment. It's a really tough moment, and we want to be supportive of Arteta and believe that he can have the ability to adapt it and change it. But solutions might. I mean, give me some. You said he's not going to change the system, and I agree with you. He's not, well, at least initially. How can you change the system after an international break when you get maybe 3 days with the team? Because that's when they come back, right? Middle of next week, Wednesday, Thursday. So he's not going to change the system. But what can he change to create better solutions to get us creating more volume of chances? Because without that, we are not going to sneak every game. It's going to be touch and go, and it could end up like this. And if we have to chase a game, we clearly can't do it. So what are some early things that you would do to try to just create something that's going to be a little bit more threatening to these opposition teams?
First and foremost, it would be getting Lacazette and Willian out of the team, and it would be putting Pepe on the right, and I would put, obviously, and I think everybody would put Aubameyang centre, and then have Saka out on the other side. I think that way you have a little bit of unpredictability in terms of, obviously, the Pepe angle. You've got Aubameyang, who, if he's centrally, obviously immediately, the defence, or the centre-back, or whether it's one or two they've got, will maybe step back a little bit, because if he's still got his pace for now, and, you know, he's 31, he's not going to have it forever. So that would maybe open up a little bit of space for whoever's playing behind him, if that's going to be Partey, if he recovers, or if he decides to go with Danny Ceballos in there instead. But for me, that's what I would do, Jack. I would just, it would have to be those two out and the other two in. Not so much the other two in, but it would be Pepe and then obviously Aubameyang centrally. But probably, you know, it's going to be Aubameyang out left, maybe Nketiah in the middle, and then Pepe. It's probably going to be that. And then probably maybe he might go with Danny Ceballos instead of Elneny, but Leeds are very sort of they run all day. Yeah, I think they the way they play, they man mark everyone across the pitch. And all, remember how they played against us in the cup last year when they ran us off the park for the first half, and we turned it around. But you know, you've got Bielsa, who's, he's been around the block so many times, he's seen it all, hasn't he? So, you know, he's got that hanging over him as well. He's got a guy who he played under, so he knows him, you know, and obviously he may be thrown a little bit because of that. He might be a bit cautious again, because obviously we know what's happened with Guardiola, who's someone who he knows, and everything, how he approached that game. So the worry is that he's going to be cautious again, and like I said, if he sticks with Lacazette and Willian against them, I think, you know what can you say? I just hope for his sake it's not those two, but who knows? He might be forced to play those two still, because there might be injuries or whatever, you know, picked up between now and when that game starts again. But if you've got a choice, it has to be Pepe on the right. Give him a run of games, just give him 5, 6, 7 games, just let him go, you know, and let him try and recapture the form that he did towards the end of last season, when he played so well in the cup final and looked like he was starting to click. But we know it's going to be Nketiah and up front, and Aubameyang out on the left again.
I was going to say that I agree with you. I think Aubameyang should definitely be in the middle. I've been an advocate of that for a while now, as I think most of us have. But if he is going to go with Aubameyang on the left, then I think he should give... I know I gave Nketiah a few pelters earlier, but because he's playing against Leeds as well, and maybe something to prove, maybe he might turn up on that day. So it might be definitely better choice to play Nketiah rather than Lacazette in the middle if he's going to stick with Aubameyang on the left. And I know, I don't, you know me and the formations and how it works and how it will all fit in and balance the team, but I would also throw Willock in that game. I really would.
Problem with that, sorry to interrupt, but the problem with that, and Henry Grant at Henry G 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 asked Willock has to get a chance, and I don't disagree with it. But if you don't change the system, it's going to become really hard because he's not really a midfield two, is he, Willock?
No.
So we've got to change the system in order to get Willock in. And I don't see us changing the system, certainly not for this next game. I think he has to change the system because I just think the reason Emery lost his job, obviously got completely calamitous towards the end, but he was also really cowardly. And we can't forget that, you know, Arteta has really improved us in those big games, especially away from home or neutral venues, in being able to defend and break effectively. Unfortunately, he's not showing that he can do it in the most common games where we generally dominate the ball and we're at home. And those are the games that are going to get you top four at the end of the day, or close to it. So I agree with you on Willock because he clearly provides. I mean, he said as much, didn't he, Arteta, after the Mold game? He said he provides us something that no one else really does in the squad. But then why aren't you putting him on a bench?
It's a concern itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a concern. And then why aren't you putting him on a bench? If he's got something that no one else has got, why not put him on a bench? Do you know what I mean?
Doesn't want to upset the other two. That's what it is. It's favouritism. Doesn't want to upset Xhaka or Ceballos, yeah.
Yeah, one of them needs to be dropped completely for a game like that.
Do you agree that maybe he should bring in Luiz instead of Holding then for that game?
I don't think there's an ideal solution in terms of Gabriel, a partner for Gabriel. And my bigger worry is hanging Gabriel out to dry, right? We saw this with Koscielny for years. And, you know, I don't think Koscielny's as good as Gabriel, to be honest. But we saw us constantly change partners with him and switch it. So I do think, I mean, I said last week, and that's why I was kind of appreciative of him starting the same team, but though it didn't work at all, is trying to get some sort of settled 11. The concerns with Luiz are obviously, you know, the relationship with Leno that we spoke about. And but in general, because we're so one-dimensional attacking-wise and because of his experience, I would probably still go Luiz over Holding. Do you know what I mean? Like Holding, unless he's got a direct battle, you know, he almost wants to get too involved. Holding, we saw against Rashford, he was great because he just laid into him a few times, didn't he? And Rashford didn't want to know after that. But Watkins was far more intelligent, wasn't he? He was playing off the shoulder and far cleverer, wasn't he? And Holding's not perfect for, so I don't think either solution is perfect, but in terms of relationship, Luiz, I'd probably I probably would still go with the experience of Luiz. I agree with you on that. And I would change everything that you said and Mike said. I would change obviously Saka would be playing in Mike's situation, so I would check Niles into that left wing back slot, because I think Niles, out of all the players we've got, is one of our fittest players, you know. And I think what he does, as opposed to Saka, is he doesn't require the ball so much. So Saka, you're constantly giving him the ball, which means Aubameyang from the left becomes a little bit more redundant. But Niles was just a runner, so he would constantly create movement, and which would free up Aubameyang, right? And I find it really odd that he's convinced Niles to stay, and then he's gone, not going to play, mate. Well, like, it's like, well, come on. And he's not lost his spot. It's been taken away from him for no real reason. And argue similar for Pepe. And that would be my frustration. If you're going to play this way, then play to your strengths that you did last season, right? And Niles and Pepe were two strengths of that system last season. So those two would be my definites. And I agree with you. I don't see him moving to Aubameyang central because he just seems so reluctant to do it. I mean, if Lacazette's this bad and he's still not doing it, he's not going to do it, is he? Or is he just, what's he waiting for? You know, something popped up on my screen. What is he waiting for, right? But let's get on to, obviously we lost 3-0. We probably deserved to lose 4-5, to be honest. They had a couple of other chances. I think I switched off after the third. I was still watching it. I just switched off mentally after the third goal. So those are our possible solutions. Let's do one or two more questions. Neil, has the FA Cup win given fans false expectations? Bernadette 68 at BRAS 68, top girl Bernadette. The league results were up and down earlier this year. We only finished eighth. Europa League exit wasn't great either. Real rebuilding the squad is going to take a few more windows. Do you agree with that? Do you think we've been given this false expectation that Arteta is just going to be completely, you know, innovative for us and change everything quickly, where we've still got a lot of problems that have to be dealt with within the squad and maybe even beyond that?
I think if you're a dreamer, yes, it probably does give you false expectations. And we've come on, all of us like to dream. But the reality is, and to be fair to Arteta, he said it himself, it's not going to be an overnight fix. It's going to take time. It's going to be progressive. And, you know, let's look at Klopp. Everyone's singing his praises, but it took him, what, 4 or 5 seasons to win a trophy, for goodness sake. Arteta's done it in 6 months. And I'm sorry, I wouldn't swap that for anything. You know, I'm not good. If you're asking me, would we not rather have the FA Cup and then our expectations are not right, risen or elevated? Of course not. Take the FA Cup all day long. You know, it's a trophy. And the fact, for me, I think it's still imperative that we won it, because it still gives, whatever we're going through at the moment, it still gives everyone, including Arteta, the belief that it can be done. You know, it can be done. We can have a route to success, even in the most darkest time that we were going through when Arteta took over. You know, he still managed to do that. So I think I would never swap that for the world. Absolutely not. But yes, it can give some fans. I think people who can look at the reality and to see how things have been over the last few years for us would probably understand and accept that, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to, I mean, I always say, I joke around, I'm saying we're going to win the quad and come unbeaten, but that's, you know, it's just fantasy at the end of the day. I'm a realist as well. I'm a football fan as well. And you know that these things will take time. You know, the level of football has gone up exponentially over the years. You know, this is why you're getting teams of the likes of Leicester, Villa, Wolves, even Leeds have just come from the championship playing so well, because the level has gone up, and because the level has gone up, it just can't be taken for granted that you're going to do well if you are supposedly a big team, because any team can beat any team in the league. So, you know, I would never swap the FA Cup for anything, but yes, I think it can, in certain people's minds, think, okay, we can do anything now. But it's not a bad way to be. Don't get me wrong, but I think you've also got to balance it with a bit of realism and factual evidence as well. So that's my answer to that.
I'm off mute, aren't I? Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, it's a difficult moment for him, and winning the FA Cup has not made it easier in the sense that, but it's bought him time that, you know, Emery didn't buy himself that time because of how he was in his cup final, and then it went from bad to worse for him. And people have been doing a lot of comparisons from Emery to Arteta, and I don't really want to do that, because I think it's too early for Arteta to judge yet. I do think we've got to look at it. There are some, you know, a lot of metrics that make me worried, but in terms of performances, you know, like a lot of people will reference Liverpool, and I speak to a lot of Liverpool fans that are relatively, which is rare, but they're relatively kind of, you know, unbiased. And I remember those early years of Klopp, and what they never felt was, they always felt, even though he wasn't really kind of getting the results early on, it was up and down, win, loss, but they were always really believing in the style and the philosophy of the way he's playing. And I think that's what we need to see a little bit more from Arteta. We need to see a style, maybe, you know, back to where when he first started, where it was much more fluid. We created a lot more when he first started. Our results were still patchy, in fairness, because we had mistakes galore at the back. But, you know, he was playing Ozil in the hole, and, you know, we were much more fluid in terms of our forward progression. And I really want to see that again, but I do feel he's at a point where he's so reluctant to release what he's built defensively, and he has to get that balance right. That's what about being a top manager is all about. And I still believe he can do that, but like you said, Mike and Neil, so you've got to make these changes, because the changes are becoming really, really obvious now, and if you don't, I don't think it's good for the collective who are watching on. They're all seeing it. They're going, how am I not getting Reece Nelson and Willock again? How am I not getting in this squad here? You know, how am I not getting near it? Pepe must have heard some comments, and I liked his comments midweek, kind of saying, I've got to prove more to the coach, but I obviously want to be playing more. You want to hear that. But also, Pepe's played less minutes than Thomas Partey this season. Thomas Partey was only signed 2 weeks ago. Pepe's played less Premier League minutes than him. So when everyone says, oh, like Lee Dixon commented, well, be better then. And I'm like, well, but he's not really played that much, Lee. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not really played that much. He's only started one game. He's only started one game in the Premier League. So, and in the Europa League, we can argue about his loss of the ball and etc. But he always creates and he always scores in the Europa League. So
that's shocking. I didn't know that, Jack.
Yeah,
that's
incredible. I just saw the stat come up on Twitter, and I'm like, well, so I think, you know, we know we're not saying, I kind of linked liken Pepe to an Alexis or even an Arshavin in a way, which gave the ball away a lot, but always produced some bit of magic. And you've got to judge your squad on what you've got. And at the moment, we're crying out for risk takers and invention in a final third. And there's just no way I don't see a player like that needing to start. But it can't be starting not so great performance, you're on the bench for five or six again, because you've given seven or eight to Willian. So, you know, if you're going to start him, you have to start him with the belief that, you know, you're going to stick by him for a little bit, because it's not fair to drop these players in and out of teams all the time, I don't think, really. And we are expecting more from Pepe, obviously, but I think we all know he's not a £72 million player, but well, certainly not at the moment. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't be starting. That doesn't mean he shouldn't be starting, I don't think. So let's
you've
do prediction.
Give him the chance.
Yeah, you've got to give him the chance. I agree. He's had a few moments, right?
But if the guy in front of you isn't producing the numbers, and he's got no assists or no goals, then that's gonna get you down. It's gonna grate. Obviously he's sticking with Willian because he's supposedly technically secure and all this stuff and what have you. But you know, I've always said, you know, even in the, you know, if you play for Arsenal Football Club, you've got to, in this season, you've got to get double figures in goals or assists if you're a proper player, you know. And despite the season he had, Pepe, he did get double figures in assists, I believe. I think he got eight goals, so I think he was second after Aubameyang. So but if the guy in front of you is doing the business and you know, whatever position it is, you know, then fine, you sort of say, okay, we'll wait for my chance. But if the guy's is not doing it and you're still getting your 20 minutes and whatever, then you're within reason to feel frustrated. So, you know, he needs to be given a run now. He's got to start against Leeds. He can't persist with Willian. It's not working. It's not worked. It's worked against a really, really bad Fulham, which we now see that Fulham they should have relegated them from that first game. You know, he's done it against them. Okay, we was all drinking the Kool-Aid and everything after that, you know, performance. We're thinking, oh, great, you know, what a signing. But he's had the chances and he's not done it. So give the other guy a chance. We're not revising history. We're not saying, you know, Pepe's going to change everything. But he's got that element of unpredictability and a bit of magic. You know, I know that he scored, it was against Dundalk, but the goal he scored, the way he rolled it and, you know, slotted it in was amazing, a bit of technique, you know. So he's capable of doing that in the blink of an eye. Bang, it's in the back. How did he do that? And you've got to watch the replay to see what he actually did. So, you know, yeah, you've just got to give him a chance. You've got to give the guy a fair crack of the whip.
Yeah, and I think if he gets either one of those two chances, I'm not saying he scores, but even one of those two chances that Willian got where he didn't meet the volley, which again, to me, looked like a fitness issue, right? I mean, even as a sort of secondary school player, you know if you're going to meet that ball or not. So if you're not going to meet it, take a touch and then hit it. But Willian's watching it and he doesn't get anywhere near meeting the ball and balloons it over the bar. And the second one's even worse, so wayward with his left foot. But again, no one's going to tell me that I don't think Pepe might not score from him, but he'd do better than that from those two chances, no question. He's quite good when you get him centrally on goal. Do you know what I mean? We all remember the goal disallowed in the cup final. So it's not, you know, it's obviously more than just players and personnel. I think it is, and that's the worry. It is more than players and personnel. It's a stylistic thing. But these would be starts for us to start to see that, you know, you're actually... You know, someone said, does our Lee Hatton, 84, says, does Arteta talk a better game than he actually produces? And he does talk fantastically well, doesn't he? But he's got to start showing that he actually believes a lot of these things that he says, because, you know, competitiveness is in the squad, no one's positions, a given, etc. Well, you know, you're starting to look like you're playing favourites a little bit, because it's just not, even Nelson would have a shout over Willian at this point, I think, in the right wing position at the least, you know, because Nelson's produced a couple of really good performances in midweek.
I mean, even for the cameo that Pepe came on, he had a shot, didn't he, which just went
straight away,
Straight away.
So and then it became erratic and the game, and obviously we conceded a couple with him on the pitch, but I don't really put a lot of that down to him. But I just think, yeah, it could be handled a lot better. Which, let's do predictions, boys. Been good chat. Let's do predictions, Mike. Leeds, I think it's a Sunday game again. I was hoping for a Saturday one, to be honest, but this is a Sunday game again. It's at Leeds. the games aren't getting easier. So, you know, we're not getting results. And I think we've got Leeds, Wolves, Tottenham in the next three. So what's your score prediction? And scorer, we need to create a chance for there to be a scorer. Just letting you know for that one. But go ahead. Oh, you're on mute. You're on mute, Mike. You're on mute.
I'll say we win this one 3-2. And it's got to be Aubameyang, I think.
Got to get him more volume of chances. That's saying we're going to create three shots on goal. I'm already excited by that prediction, because I'm looking at one shot on goal, to be honest, maybe 60.
Yeah.
So let's see. But I'll take it all day. Neil, what about you?
If we go with Aubameyang in the middle, I think we might win it 2-1. If we go with Aubameyang in the middle, if we don't, I reckon we'd be lucky to get a 1-1 draw. So I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. See, the reason I don't think he'll go Aubameyang in the middle, I think he's probably waiting for a system switch to even consider Aubameyang in the middle, right? Because he doesn't believe he's got a hold-up play ability. When you watch Lacazette at times, you wonder if he could get any worse. But he doesn't believe that. So I think you're right. He's going to probably play Aubameyang out left anyway, because he's not going to change the system. But I'll take your prediction as 2-1. I think it's got, despite the fact we don't draw games, which is surprising considering how negative we are at times, but I'll go 1-1, I think. I'll go.
No, 1-1. I said 1-1.
Oh, you said 1-1?
Yeah, if Aubameyang is on the left, it's 1-1.
Aubameyang's on the left, it's 1-1.
Yeah.
I've got to pick something else then. I don't think we'll create two chances, so I can't say 2-2. I'll say 2-2 then. I'll say 2-2.
You can say 1-1. You can say 1-1-2.
No, I'll say 2-2. I'll say Pepe. I do think I think I'd be really upset if he doesn't start in this game. Damn. You know what I mean? Or Nelson, but I'll go with Pepe. I think he has to see that as a problem, right? I mean, I'm surprised he didn't hook Willian after the first goal, to be honest. But I'll go 2-2. It's not enough for us. We're playing massive catch up, but at this point I just want to see performances, because without those results aren't coming anyway, not on a regular basis. So we've got to see a performance that sort of gives us a little bit of hope and gets us off our seat a little bit, because it's been a really tough season to watch, let alone sort of, you know, the result wise. I think it's been a really sort of dross season to watch, you know, and a lack of excitement at the end. And you watch football for entertainment, you know, we've always said that, and you do really. I mean, you watch it for obviously results. If we're 1-1-0 every week, yeah, of course, be happy and delighted, but we're not. So, you know, you want some entertainment along the way, don't you? But boys, we are on YouTube. Look at Purely Arsenal FP. None of you are listening on YouTube. You're all listening on Spotify and on your Apple Podcast app. That's fine. But if you want to give us a sort of a subscription on YouTube, which is free, just click on at Purely Arsenal FP when we post the links later, and just subscribe and then listen on your normal regular iTunes or Spotify or Anchor apps, and we're on one or two others, I'm sure, as well.
We're close to the 100 subs on YouTube, so come on, please help
there
us.
There you go. Yeah, because there's some really bad podcasts out there that have more subs than us, and we're definitely better than all those. So, you know, you need to just subscribe to them. So if you listen, while you're listening right now, just quickly subscribe on YouTube and then go back and listen on you. If you don't want to watch us, because that's fine. We're better looking than, I think, it's because we're better looking than
must be my beard. It's putting them off.
Yeah, I think people click on it and they go, oh, that's, you know, they're far too good looking. Let's listen to it on radio. So that's probably what it is. I think that's what it is. It's fair. Jealousy is the worst, isn't it? So, but boys, we'll be back.
We want subscribers. We don't want to put them off, please.
Yeah, whatever. We're doing this for free.
I know.
It's all good. But we won't be back before the Leeds game. I feel like we've kind of built it a little bit enough. So, but we'll let this podcast go and then we'll be back straight after the Leeds game. I think I've got a week off after that Leeds game, so we'll do one on the Monday or something, maybe similar time. Hopefully, we're more positive, although I felt we were pretty
impartial. Still keep the faith.
Keep the faith. A long season. We're not that far off. We start getting performances in and anything's possible. So we've got to stay positive, haven't we? Look at last season. It was an absolute joke and then we ended up... Look how it ended.
Come on, we can do it.
Got to believe, haven't we? Yeah. Got to believe. Come on here, Arsenal. Boys, thank you so much.
Come on, Arsenal. Come
here, Reds. See you up soon.